Sactown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sactown Sports and subscribe.
We are back. It's going to be like 8 Mile tonight. Styles and Watkins, final battle. You know what I mean? I mean, I watched all those freestyles over and over again. The DVD, behind the scenes. They did other freestyles. Lickety
Split.
That they
just didn't show.
RIP Lotto. Oh, Lotto passed away about a month ago. So that was the second battle. Yeah. And then at the very end, who was it? Papa Doc. You had to take down Papa Doc. The Lotto battle was the closest battle.
Yep.
I think Lotto might have even got him. RIP Lotto. Oh. And B Rabbit. I watched that movie so many times and the behind the scenes. Styles and Watkins, it's going to be a battle tonight in the Golden 1 Center. Golden State Warriors. Mm. Sacramento Kings. Mm. This is what you've been waiting for. This isn't Creed 1.
No.
This isn't Creed 2. This is Creed 3. This is your buddy that you thought you were cool with, but now he's coming for the title. That's the Kings.
Cannot okay, stand thank Michael you. B. Jordan.
Well, he plays one character.
Yeah. Wow.
But it still remains. This is your opportunity. Yeah. One shot, one opportunity.
There you go.
Mom spaghetti. All right. Yeah. Let's get to some of these nicknames that we have been from the 916 to straight up Go Kings. That's what I'm talking about.
There you go.
916, a different 916. Is going to my Beam Regime, which was a couple segments ago.
Yep.
Beam Regime is winning. Okay, I knew it would grow on y'all. 54% says, thanks, I love it. 46% who are lying say, no thanks, I hate it. We also have on the text line to use Beam Regime in a sentence. Does it roll off the tongue? Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't know. It's just we're the Beam Regime.
I'm getting personal texts about this, too, that people hate it.
See, now, but how can I believe that? Now that it's going that's in my direction, crazy. Now you got
no,
sources.
No, I was with you. I was the first one to chime in. I said, I love it. I love it.
Well, tell them to vote or it doesn't count. Tell them to get on the stream and vote or it doesn't count. Beam Regime, we're the Beam Regime. Yeah. That's the
beam
sentence.
Regime.
I asked the ChatGPT and there was I'm not very happy with ChatGPT. I said, what's a good name for Sacramento Kings fans? ChatGPT said, Kingdom supporters, which sounds like something AI would say, right?
Yeah.
And Kings's Court, which we discussed, and that's kind of not been perfect.
What am I, a jester?
And then I asked specifically, what's a good name for Sacramento Kings Beam fans? And it says, for the Sacramento Kings fans who support the team's Beam initiative, which didn't realize it was an initiative.
It is.
A suitable nickname could be Beam Backers. Or
hate it.
Beam Believers, which I don't hate. I don't
you,
hate.
You can't
beam
do
believers.
That because of We Believe. I wouldn't touch that.
They ruin everything.
They really do. 916, I vote for the Beam Brigade. I don't mind the Beam Brigade.
I do.
I don't like
it. I just have never used the term. I mean, I guess regime, but yeah, brigade just is
brigade,
not really
and then
in my
from
vocabulary.
The 425, the Beamdom.
The Beamdom's not bad.
The Beamdom is not bad.
Because you
the
do
Kings
get the
in
Kings,
the Beamdom.
Yep.
But do we love it?
Do we love it? Do we love it? I feel like I'm playing King of the Court. No pun intended.
Yeah.
Does it knock out
Beam Regime? Does it knock out Beam Regime? I don't know. We might have to do like a full, maybe we'll wait till March or something and do like a bracket or something.
Right. We'll do a March Madness bracket
for
the different nicknames. Beamdom is about it. Well, Beam Brigade is the one seed. Beamdom might be a one seed in the other bracket, in the other side of the bracket.
Exactly.
So we can get it that way. Earlier in the show, we were talking about fair weather fans and bandwagon fans and a lot of questions and a lot of comments from all of you. So thank you very much. Amid Rock has something to say, which I think is really interesting. At what age do you draw the line for bandwagon fans? Does this only apply to adults or do we shame younger fans? We never shame younger fans.
No.
But we do need to establish an age.
I feel like once you get to high school, it's kind of like you got to kind of be locked in because, you know, that's when you're establishing your identity as a person anyway. And, you know, you're meeting new friends from different walks of life and you kind of have to have, you know, if you're going to be friends with the boys, you know, you got to be able to talk your team and stuff. And so I think by high school, you should probably have it locked down. And at that point, you're establishing yourself and you're kind of known for what you are at that point. And you can't be like, oh, yeah, I went to high school with Eric. He's a huge Raider fan.
Right.
And then at the 10-year reunion, it's like, oh, no, he's actually like the leader of the Chargers fan base.
If you moved, I'll allow it. If you moved, absolutely. If you moved, I'll allow it. Tom Bain on the YouTube chat. I was a Lakers fan since the 70s, but since 1985, I have been a Kings fan.
Boom.
You youngsters couldn't understand.
Yeah.
And I, you know what?
I mean, absolutely. If your city gets a team, that's you get absolute clearance to switch it up.
Sure. Sure. I'm good with that, Tom. We're good. He also says Kings over Lakers. So thank you. We will take that as well. Yeah, the age, I think 14, 15 is good. That's when you know. That's when you're following
sports.
Is this
also a dying conversation? Like, are kids in high school right now, even like, do they even have teams?
Yes.
Do they? Because it kind of, to me, maybe I'm generalizing the youth too much, but like it feels like, oh, let's use a ton of old man buzzwords here. In this TikTok generation.
This microwave society.
You know, it's just about who can get the best highlights. And do people even really like teams anymore? Or is it just players? Is it just, oh, I love watching Steph Curry and I enjoy that. But I also enjoy watching Kevin Durant. And it's I like it when they play together because then both guys are doing well. And I don't really care about who wins. I just more care about the fact that Steph hit 3 30-footers.
No, I hear you on that. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just a purist and I'd like to believe that.
I would like to hope.
I would like to believe that, you know, the younger generation still has strong fandom. But
maybe
I do think
least,
part of it also is your family.
Yeah.
I think it's got to be handed down. I think that's a part of
also,
it
also, like, basketball is a little bit more – that fits – what I just described is more of a basketball conversation. Like, no one is – Patrick Mahomes for sure, but for the most part, it feels like football is a little bit more tribal. And, of course, baseball is incredibly local
thing.
And tribal.
Yeah.
Basketball is a little bit more about star-driven power, and that's a little bit more loose with its – oh, yeah, exactly. Like, I am a LeBron fan. Me, personally, I am a LeBron fan. I've cheered for the Cavaliers just as hard
because
as
they were
what
playing
I,
the Warriors.
Just because they were playing the Warriors. The Kings were out of it.
You don't got to lie, Craig. You know what I mean? It's because you were playing the Warriors.
I was a big LeBron
guy.
I've been a LeBron guy for a while.
916-339-1140. Let's go to the phone lines. Matt wants to talk Kings. What's up, Matt? You are on Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Hey, got a nickname.
Let's hear it.
I don't know if I've listened to every second today, but I think I have most of it. Anybody say
it.
Beam machine.
Beam machine. Get it in the bracket.
That would be like, I'm thinking of like the what is it, the big red machine, but like that feels
Cincinnati
like it
Reds.
Should be like the team. It's like we're eventually going to get a team that just is winning so often that they're like just producing
the beat.
It's like, they're machine-like and how they're producing.
The beam machine.
Yeah. We might have to put that one on layaway. We're going to have to use that one later.
Well, I think beam machine, that's a solid 2 seed. Solid 2 seed in the bracket.
Absolutely.
Thank you for the call, Matt.
Great
2 seed right there for the beam machine as we continue to figure out. And we have Andrew Cardwell as well. Beam Dream. Oh, this is a whole. He got bars here. Andrew Cardwell. This Beam Dream is a mean machine.
Oh. Wow.
I like that.
It's not bad.
209. The Beam Bling.
No.
That's
a 16. That's 16 seed.
Thank you, 209.
Get it out of here.
Appreciate it.
Thank
you. You might be in the play-in.
Yeah.
You might be in the first four.
Mm-hmm.
You might be in the first four.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. He's playing with Norfolk State there.
Hey, well, it's funny you say that. My mom went to school there. You know, long time ago.
Sorry, Alan's mom.
Whoa, hey. Hey, mom, I know you're listening because you've been texting me. She has. I got to check during the break. So, you know, one thing we haven't really talked about as much, we've talked about all these other pieces. De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
If you want, we've talked about if the Kings are going to get it done. You have to enter the superstar conversation.
Right.
And I'm gonna tell you one thing right now, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful. I'm really not. But you said with your chest out pretty confidently that De'Aaron Fox is better than Jalen Brunson.
Yes, sir.
I'm not saying that you are incorrect, but I'm saying there are people that would disagree with you.
I would welcome that conversation.
You would.
Open arms. I would love to have that conversation.
Okay.
There's a lot of factors that that play into that as well.
Why?
Especially the fact that Jalen Brunson's like 6'1". Maybe.
So you're saying that's what
I mean, that's definitely a key contributor. Like, maybe production-wise, you could argue. I wouldn't argue, but I would definitely say De'Aaron's also got more longevity.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I just the same way that height plays into a factor in Davion Mitchell's analysis, like my analysis of Davion Mitchell, like the fact that Jalen Brunson is a small guard, like there's some limitations that come with that. And De'Aaron Fox is 6'4" and finishing at the rim.
So is Steph Curry. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, more of your nicknames and more of the keys to the game for the Kings. 209, real quick, the Beaminators. That sounds like a 3-seed to me. The Beaminators.
Sounds like another first four in.
There you go. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
We are back. Sacktown Sports. Styles and Watkins taking you up to 2 p.m. A couple more segments here until we get to the crosstalk with Draper and Whitey and Whitey and Draper as we will talk to them from On Location, Beam Nation. On Location. We had another one come in.
Oh my God.
Styles and Watkins.
I like it.
There you go. And, oh yeah, we already talked about. Oh yeah, here it goes. We already talked about. Here you go. Manny Too Legit, the Beam Supreme. And why am I thinking about Taco Bell?
Yeah, that's exactly where my mind was going.
Beam, it could get confusing.
So it's got some sour cream in it is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, extra.
Because isn't that that's not the only thing that makes date, it though. Supreme, right?
Yeah.
And the tomatoes.
Oh,
no,
and tomatoes too?
I think so, yeah.
Not
yeah.
for a first date, though.
Definitely not. No,
you can take me to Taco Bell.
Beam Supreme, yeah.
Got to do a crunch wrap.
Yeah, it doesn't quite hit.
I don't
Maybe
know.
Maybe if Taco Bell wants to sponsor it, you know, it's already purple.
I don't know if that's going to get in. It really depends on, now I'm going American Ninja Warrior here. If your time was fast enough and before you fell, maybe you'll get in. But keep them coming. Bleed Purple 91. Teamwork makes the beam work. I like
that's
that,
a good
but
tagline.
That's not. Yeah, that's a good tagline.
Yeah.
That's a different
it's
shirt.
It's a good shirt. It's a good shirt.
And then hashtag beam regime on the back.
There
hashtag
you go.
Hashtag LTB, light the beam.
Boom.
We're
workshopping something strong here.
We definitely got to get on Etsy or something.
Exactly.
Because there's a lot.
Shopify.
Exactly.
Or
there is a lot going on. Defensively, we hope there's a lot going on tonight with the Kings because Klay did not shoot it well against the Suns. He did defend Kevin Durant well. Chris Paul seems to always have a knack for making a shot at a kind of terrible time if you are the other team.
Yes, yeah.
Just a random shot that has no business going in, and then it does go in, and it normally just really ticks off the fan base and that other team. Untimely shots if you are
against... 12 points of the game will be the most annoying.
Exactly, exactly. But when you look at who the Kings have to contain, we've already talked about maybe you run a trap on Steph Curry as kind of cliche as that sounds. I do think it works. If you're the Warriors, as usual, this comes down to Klay Thompson.
Right.
And his ability to either put the biscuit in the basket or not.
Yep.
Right. I think Andrew Wiggins, as you've called him, he is a version like Neo from the Matrix. He is a version of Harrison Barnes, right? So he's going to find a way to have about 15 points.
Yep.
You're not going to remember one of them, right? But he's going to have his 15 points. Klay Thompson is the guy that you have to figure out if you're going to sell out on, or you figure out, hey, are we going to just defend him straight up and give him that
Live
respect?
And die. Yeah.
Right? So I think that will be the most interesting piece of the defense today. I would guess Keegan on Klay.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what happened in the playoffs. If I'm not mistaken, I want to say they left Herter on him, but I could be wrong. It's been a while, but I definitely had that note. I mean, it's definitely going to be interesting defensively just how they're going to match up with him because like you said, I mean, that it's Chris Paul, while he does present an interesting problem for the Warriors defensively, it also kind of makes the Kings like, okay, do you throw Kevin Herter on Chris Paul? Mm-hmm. Do you throw Kevin Herter on Steph Curry and just kind of accept, like you said earlier, like you're just going to double him and use Kevin as one of those guys? To me, I mean, the defensive end, of course, I mean, the defense is the big conversation of this Kings team, but how they're going to attack this Warriors team, I still believe the best way is to just slow Steph Curry down as much as possible. I can live as I know Kings fans don't want to hear it because we've seen Klay Thompson absolutely take over a game against the Kings in the worst way possible. But I would live with those other guys beating you. If Clay is going to have a 25-point night, you know, I think you have to live with that. He's just sometimes he's able to catch fire, and there's nothing you can really do. I would just lock in on Steph because there's no way the Warriors win this game. I mean, in the playoffs, Steph Curry had 30 points in every single, all seven of those games. Steph finished with 30 or more. If you can keep him under 30, you just got to feel confident that your offense is going to be good enough to where the Warriors just aren't going to be able to keep up with you.
Yeah, and that made me, that reminded me not to bring up bad memories, but it's a different time now. But Klay Thompson, the 37 in the one quarter, that was against
the
Kings.
Yeah, so that's exactly what I'm referring to.
But I mean, from the Warriors side of things, Klay is dealing with way more disrespect than Kevin Huerter just because of Klay's cachet and everything he's kind of done in this league. So Klay is feeling really disrespected, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But you got to do something about it. Right. And unfortunately, hey man, it could happen against the Kings. It could not. But hey man, sorry. This is no disrespect, but it's more about Steph Curry. Mm-hmm. And it is about you too, because we couldn't double Steph back in the day. But this is just the best option. And I think a big piece of why I would attack Steph today and bring another body and just kind of trap him every chance. You can't do that for the whole game, but in those spurts, is because there's no Draymond Green.
Right.
And as much as Draymond Green is maligned and we talked about stomp the yard. He stomped the yard on Sabonis' chest. All of that. Draymond does have the ability to run this offense and get people in the right places. So without Draymond, I don't even know who that secondary person is.
It's Chris Paul. I mean, that's what we saw for the most part.
It's Chris Paul. So,
but he does it in a completely different way. Like Draymond does it more in terms of standing at the high post and more like Sabonis does, where there's cutters and people coming off him. Chris Paul's just going to dribble that ball, and he's going to dribble, and he's going to dribble, and he's going to wait for people to move. He's going to wait for the pick and roll, and it's just a little bit different. It's a lot slower than how the Warriors are used to playing, and this is why the Kings need to take this opportunity. Like, Draymond's not playing. The Warriors are 0-1. They're still trying to figure out how this Chris Paul thing's going to work. You guys know who you are, and Trey Lyles aside, you're at full strength. This is an opportunity, home opener. It feels like everything is in their favor. Mm-hmm. They just need to take advantage of the opportunity that's in front of them. And I really hope that they're able to do it, not just at a tight game level, but I would love to see them make a statement tonight and just show the Warriors that, you know, y'all are still figuring it out, but we're ready to go from day one. And you know, they're going to play them again on Wednesday in Chase Center. I want the Warriors to be afraid, like be like, oh man, like we played them a couple days ago and it did not feel like we're at the same place at all. And if the Kings can establish that now, I mean, obviously it's just going to do dividends for them later in the year as well.
And I think a good note on that in why Jay Williams was so high or is so high on the Kings is because if you look at the rest of the West, they're all still working through things besides the Nuggets.
Yep.
Okay. The Grizzlies don't have Ja. The Warriors are working with this Chris Paul situation, and Draymond is injured, whatever the case is. The Suns, they're going to be really good eventually, but they just got Bradley Beal. They got to figure out how that's going to work. The Clippers, I mean, they might as well have just got Kawhi because him and Paul George haven't played together.
Right.
So you could count that the same way. The Lakers, everybody's so happy about them, or Lakers fans, but what is their identity? Yep. They have a bunch of guys that you don't really know who's going to do what the units are. LeBron's trying to be point guard. D'Angelo Russell is still moving in slow motion at all times.
Making terrible
is
decisions.
Austin Reeves your second option?
Yeah.
Or is he your third or fourth? Is he just like cool to watch play? I don't know. The Kings, yes, they added Vezinkov and they added McGee and they added a couple pieces, Duarte and things like that. But their core and what they want to do and how they want to operate has not changed.
Yep.
So they got to take advantage of that. And same with the Nuggets. But even the Nuggets lost, you know, Bruce Brown and a couple other guys.
Yep.
So
Jeff Green,
it's really an opportunity for the Kings. And look, we talk about it, man. As far as Ja Morant is concerned, these Grizzlies, especially the way that he plays, your windows are so small. I mean, what the Warriors were able to do, it's about Steph Curry, but then when you coupled it with Kevin Durant, that's what changed everything. But for the most part, windows are pretty darn small, especially when you aren't a huge market. And the Knicks haven't even been able to do anything. They're supposedly the biggest market ever. So I'm really, and the Lakers, they got the bubble ring, and that's basically it. You have a small window. The Bucks are right now in that window because they drafted a superstar, and they've now coupled him with someone else. The Celtics have had that window open for the longest. I don't know if the window is broken. You can't roll it up, but they haven't been able to get it done. Mm-hmm. So as much as it's, hey, you know, it's the Kings, we're just trying to move in the right direction, sometimes you got to try to strike when the iron's hot. And I think that the Kings should not be looking at this year as a stepping stone year. I think technically it is, but you also got to look at, look, man, there's a lot of pieces to where I don't know if Steph is going to have the horsepower with that roster. I don't know what LeBron's got going on. They're not going to be able to play at this. The Suns can't even get on the court together to start the season.
Second game of the year.
I'm just looking at the Nuggets and I'm saying, we're coming for you.
Yeah.
And if you think, you know, Sabonis is basically a lesser Jokic, and then you have De'Aaron Fox, who I think you take over Jamal Murray.
Yeah.
And I would, who are you taking? Michael Porter Jr. or Keegan Murray?
Yeah, I mean, I would probably take Keegan just because Michael Porter Jr.'s got the health concerns. But, I mean, yeah, I think that there's definitely a world where the Kings are a different version of the Nuggets. Like, they have the point guard center two-man game to work off of the same way the Nuggets do. They have Keegan Murray kind of doing the Michael Porter Jr. role. Maybe Harrison Barnes can kind of play that Aaron Gordon role if he leans more into his defensive prowess. And if anything, you could say the Kings are deeper than the Nuggets are this year.
Right, like, now
they're trying to almost be the Nuggets of last year, and I think there's a really good chance that they can.
Gotta go. When we get back, Chris and I give our keys to the game. And yes, I will continue to read off your names. These are getting ridiculous, and that's what we love on a fun Friday. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Live and local.
This is Sacktown Sports.
We are back. Sacktown Sports. Styles and Watkins, 30 more minutes with you. One more segment until we do a little bit of crosstalk with the Drive guys, who are on location right now.
In Golden 1 Center.
In Golden 1 Center. So we will get to speak with them and see how they're feeling, see what the vibes are, the vibes vibing right now. We got some more nicknames because I promised I'd read them off. Bleed Purple 91 says the Beam Fiends.
Mm.
Kyle Mikowitz says the Loyal Laser Lovers. I don't know.
A little wordy, a little mouthy.
A little wordy. Andrew Cardwell, the Beam Buddies. Don't think that's going to be a
thing.
It's
more of like two guys on the team who are really friendly.
Yeah.
Kevin Huerter and Davion Mitchell are the Beam Buddies.
Amid Rock, the Loyal Subjects, and then also has the Royal Subjects.
Okay.
I don't think so. CK916. Beam to the Extreme.
These are more taglines here.
Yeah, I think these are getting worse. Unfortunately, I just got to be
no more one seeds.
I did have someone call in. He said he was on his lunch break and couldn't stay on hold, but he said Beam Bots, as in the or Beam Bots, like Fem Bots.
I'm glad he couldn't stay.
So, I think I'm gonna say no.
I'm glad I don't have
I just
to call
had to,
that to
you know,
yeah, but I appreciate it.
I appreciate the interaction.
Call back, give it another swing. You get three strikes. Yep. 209, the Beam Scene.
The Beam Seam?
Scene with an N.
Like you, no.
Okay.
Like scene, like a movie scene.
Yes.
Beam Scene.
We're on the scene of the Beam. It's not terrible. That can get in the tournament. 714, the Pristine Beam. Don't think so.
Not loving that.
916, the Legion of Beam. I like
Legion
it.
Of Beam's not bad.
But
not bad.
But is it too L-O-B? Similar to obviously Legion
right.
of Boom?
Right. Which is that's what it's works. Supposed to be. Yeah, exactly. You know?
And 209, I don't know, Baby Billy's Beamer Bonkers.
That's just a lot of bees. I don't think any of that has anything.
I don't know
to
why.
That's an ode to like
you said Billy
Righteous
Beans?
Gemstones. Yeah.
Baby
no?
Billy's.
You guys didn't watch that?
I did not
HBO,
watch
HBO, right?
Of it. Yeah. I should have watched
Max
more.
Now.
Max.
You.
Max.
Yes.
Please.
What a terrible rebrand, by the way. I don't know why they did that.
So bad.
209, the Beam Marines. Thank you for your service, but I don't think we can. I don't think we can.
I don't think we should.
We can get down with that one. 209, Beam Nation. That's Dub Nation. We can't do that.
Right.
You can't do that. And like I said, 916, just go Kings. Enough. Enough is enough. All right. Well, I'm looking here, looking at the votes. 53%. Beam regime. Well, I guess I win.
I don't know if that's what that means.
But. I guess I win. Well, if the Kings want to win, they're going to have to do these three things. And Chris and I came up with this list.
Yep.
We are going to go through them right now. And let's start with number one, which is contain 30. And that's that bad man, Steph Curry. And we have some audio of GP2 talking to Kuminga about how to guard Steph Curry and having to guard Steph Curry. Let's hear it.
It's just so effortless. 30?
You're never going to have to guard nobody like him. Never. You're not going to have to guard nobody. Either they can somewhat shoot like him, which really is only one person who does it is Dame, but don't nobody move like 30. So if they move like 30, they don't shoot like 30. What's the odds that 30 makes this right here?
He makes it.
There's days I can't stand him.
Same.
I can't stand him.
Yeah.
He's a special specimen.
Chris just wanted to play that for the some days I can't stand him.
Yeah, I just want that direct quote. Gary Payton II says about teammate Stephen Curry, quote, "I can't stand him."
Yeah.
That's a direct quote. I heard it there myself.
Oh, now you're going to be on one of those fake Twitter accounts.
Oh, please.
GP2. Now there's going to be another mess in the Warriors locker room just in time to play the Kings. So you got to contain Steph Curry, and Chris and I have been talking about it all show long. I would trap him. Why not? You also have to expose the small lineup. Yep. Barbecue chicken. I'm sorry, Chris Paul. I call my guys. So people like me, I'm getting into this with you now, Chris. I have a whole thing, but I have verts and zonts, right? I don't say the SH word. I don't call people short, right? Or I am not short. Okay. I am a zont, okay? Because I am more horizontal. I am under 6 foot, more horizontal. If you are over 6 foot, you are vert. You are more vertical.
Okay.
So I love my zonts.
Okay.
But you got to, because Chris Paul is a zont because he's not 6 foot, but you got to expose him. You got to go barbecue chicken, Harrison Barnes, or Keegan Murray, or even Malik Monk. You guys have to expose that small lineup. And last but not least, Sabonis not looking like playoff Sabonis. And I'll let you take that away.
I mean, that's just it's the fact that Domantas Sabonis some could say, I would personally say he was the MVP of this team throughout the regular season of last year. He obviously did not look like that in the playoffs at all. He was, a lot of people wanted to see more from him. You look at his numbers are okay. I think he was 6-12, shot around 50% from the field. So the numbers look fine, but everyone who watched it with their eyes just saw, wasn't the Domantas Sabonis that we saw that we were gushing about all season long. Domas, I think more importantly for himself, he kind of needs to get that monkey off of his back as well, that the Warriors don't have his number. The Warriors don't have some answer that nobody else had all year of how to slow him down. You know, and we've seen him pull that perimeter shot the past two or so games that we've seen him play in. I would expect to see him, take some threes, look aggressive, look like a guy who knows what he wants to do and just does it. Because in the playoffs, he looked really confused. He looked like he was taking a beat before he then made his decision of what he was going to do. And he wasn't just playing the game. He looked like a completely different guy. And I think he's just got to look like himself tonight. And for the love of God, Allen Stiles, if I have to see Kevon Looney get an offensive rebound in the first 3 minutes of this game, I don't know what I'm going to do. I played 2K like a month ago, did a little my player, was on the Kings. First game of the year, played this Warrior game. First shot I took, I bricked it with my player.
Okay.
Warriors get the ball. Steph shoots it. Kevon Looney gets a rebound. I turned off my Xbox. Was not ready for the trauma I would feel seeing Kevon Looney get a virtual rebound. I don't want to see it in real life. I cannot handle it.
Player one has left the game.
It was definitely one of those, like your opponent's connection has dropped. And it was actually the fact that I just ripped every cord in my house out.
Offensive rebound. Please, no offensive rebound.
Please.
Well, you know he's going to get at least one or two.
He's going to probably get seven. But I think that's going to be truly like that's something that is going to be interesting to see, though, is have the Kings fix that problem, because that was clear and obviously the reason one of the main contributing factors to why they really struggled in that Warrior series. Have they addressed that problem? Because it was a very, very real problem. They bring in JaVale McGee. They re-sign Alex Len. Let's see if they're going to throw a different lineup out there that we didn't see in the playoffs. Because it clearly, in terms of attacking the glass, what they had planned in the playoffs did not work.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, obviously it matters that Draymond isn't playing, but this is something where, again, talking about just your mentality and wanting to just get off on the right foot, especially at home. I think the Warriors, if they lose, can say, hey, well, we didn't have Draymond, but I don't think that matters to the Kings.
No.
Because you're playing with house money if you're the Warriors. Because you can say, hey, well,
we beat you without Draymond,
or we lost, but we didn't have Draymond. So number one, contain Steph Curry. Thank you, Captain Obvious. Number two, expose the small lineup. Got to go barbecue chicken on our guy, CP3, the Zont King, if you will. And number three, Sabonis. Just be Sabonis. Be Please. That guy. Because all the chatter, people, hey, man. People are saying that they got to upgrade from you. Mm-hmm. People are saying that you haven't done enough. Now, Kings fans, the Beam regime, they know what you can really do. But nationally, you want to stop being disrespected? That's not just a Sabonis. That's everybody. Mm-hmm. You want to stop being disrespected? These are the games where you make it happen. All right, got to get to a break. When we get back, a little bit of crosstalk with Whitey and Draper, who are at Golden 1 Center, inside Golden 1 Center right now, getting us ready for Kings Warriors. Crosstalk when we get back. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports.
Check us out on YouTube. Search Sacktown Sports and subscribe.
We are back. Sacktown Sports. Styles and Watkins getting ready for crossover. Working on that right now, so we will keep you in the loop. Either way,
yes, sir.
You will get them 2-6.
2-6. Yeah. Oh no.
Yeah.
5:30? I think 5:20 ish.
What?
How long the drive guys will be going today? Do you know?
Oh, 5:30.
5:30. Yeah. So 2 to 5:30, you'll have them either way as we try to grab
Thank
them
you,
right
Simone.
Now for crosstalk. So, in the meantime, what else are we going to do?
Well, we can talk.
Read some more.
Yeah, well, yeah, go ahead.
916. Did I already say the Beam Dreamers? Did I already say that?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well, I have one from a special person.
Okay. We up? We good?
Oh,
hey.
Got it.
Whoa.
Yeah, Hello. Come on. Hey, Hello. I know y'all trying to pinch us out and everything. You know what I mean?
No,
but,
no.
Hey, we got the drive guys coming up. We got to preview our show.
So what you got for us? How you feeling? How's the vibes in there?
I was feeling great, Alan, until I got here and I looked at the media seating. And you know, I've worked in Sacramento. I've had the privilege of working here for many, 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 many years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How long have you been here, Alan, in Sacramento?
technically 2 days.
Yeah, and then, you know, and that's great. We're glad to have you. You have media seating, and I do not.
Hey!
So, congratulations.
Alan has media seat? Get out of here.
What? Wow.
Yeah, well, it's a chart. I'm looking for my Alan Styles.
I'm telling
you. How do you get a seat?
It's about who you know, Whitey.
Yeah,
you know,
his Warriors days, his Bay Area days.
Yeah.
You know, Whitey,
that's crazy.
I wish I could help you with that, but just keep working hard, and one day, you know, maybe you'll get a seat, too.
Yeah. Maybe I can, you know, sit behind you or get you water or something during the game.
Yeah, we can switch off each quarter. How about that?
Oh, that'd be nice.
You know, there you go. So, guys, we're talking about the keys to the game, and Chris and I came up with three: containing Steph, exposing the small lineup, and Sabonis has got a ball out. What do you think about those three? Are we missing any?
No, I think you're spot on. I mean, I think when you look at this Warriors team, Steph Curry and Whitey, we talked about this yesterday. Steph Curry has to be great, I think, for this Warriors team to beat Sacramento. And when I say great, he can't score 20 points. So if the Kings hold him to 25, let's say below his average, under 30, I like Sacramento's chances. So I agree with you. And regarding Sabonis, I don't care if it's, you know, game one, game 50, game 70. When he walks in and see Kevon Looney, he should be smelling blood, right? Mm. It should be red blood, red eyes. He should go at Looney and make a statement tonight. So I agree 100% with you guys.
Yeah, I have two things that kind of go hand in hand with a couple of your points. One, I think tempo. There may be a bit of a battle for the tempo. I think with Chris Paul running the show, They run things a little slower than we typically think of the Warriors as running, and the Kings want to get up and down the floor. And then the other thing, which we saw in the not only in the playoffs but also in the Warriors' first game this year, second chance points and the extra possession is going to be huge tonight. So the Kings got to hit the glass at both ends.
Mm. Whitey, I'm curious. I mean, I know you and I talked a lot about this Warrior team, and you know, just how do you think the Kings are going to enter this game? Do you feel like there's going to be a little heightened emotion? Of course, there's going to be, you know, the opening night of it all is going to bring a certain bit of attention. But do you guys feel like because this is the Warriors, that kind of adds a whole nother layer to the excitement and the energy that maybe the team's going to feel in this game?
Yeah, you know, Kyle, I feel like back in the day, we talk a lot about the Celtics and the Lakers, and Pat Riley always used to consider it a checkpoint game whenever the Lakers played the Celtics. Mm. And I think even though we're just starting, anytime the Kings are playing the Warriors, and they play them, you know, seven times in the first 3 days of the season, whatever it is, but it's kind of a checkpoint game tonight, in addition to being the opener, and, you know, you want to get off on the right foot. But I think it's also one of these games, a real barometer game for them.
Yeah, I think so, especially when you look at what happened in the playoffs last year. You look at what happened last week in the preseason game down there at Chase Center. This is a statement game, a checkpoint kind of game. You don't want the Warriors to have a psychological advantage over you. And that's where we're trending right now, right, fellas. That's why this game is so important for Sacramento.
Drapes, I know we went back and forth yesterday about your boy, Kevin Huerter. Is today the day he comes out of his little slump? He was doing extra shots after practice. What do you think? Is tonight the night?
I think so. I think what you'll see, don't be surprised, and mark this down, coming up on Monday, I want you guys to replay this.
Okay.
Don't be surprised if Kevin Huerter hits three threes in the first half alone.
Ooh.
I think he's going to come out fired up, raring to go. And so that's my bold take. And to me, that shouldn't even be bold, right?
Right.
But
right,
that's where we are with Kevin Huerter right now. So I'm saying tonight, three threes in the first half for Huerter.
Nice. I love that.
Wow.
Fellas, tonight isn't the only opportunity the Kings are going to have this weekend to light the beam, though. They also play, we can't forget, play the Los Angeles Lakers on Sunday. Mm-hmm. How different is that matchup going to be? And like, how do you guys see that one folding out? Obviously, you know, the Lakers had their game last night and showed a little bit of something against Phoenix. But how are you guys feeling about that Laker matchup on Sunday?
LeBron played, what, 35 minutes?
35
minutes.
Blew right
night
through his minutes restriction, so he's not going to play again for like 2 weeks. So I think, you know, you take him one game at a time and all that. It's going to be tough. I don't know how it's going to go, Chris, not dodging your question, but I do think, Kyle, I think it'll be tough for the Kings, two really emotional games back-to-back, you know, early in the year. That's a challenge for them.
Yeah, no doubt about it, you know, but like you said, LeBron played 35, and it's crazy. Here we are in, what, year 21 or whatever it is for him, and he still has to be great for the Lakers to win. And so if I'm Sacramento, I'm coming out, you know, I'm running up and down. Mm-hmm, I'm trying to get mm-hmm. him gassed up. But, you know, you get these two out, you know, tonight and Sunday and then Wednesday. So you start off with 3 out of 4 emotional games. And if you could just weather the storm, you know, maybe start 3-1, 4-0, then things lighten up a little bit. And so I think this team is going to be tough, obviously, to get up emotionally again on Sunday. But I think they're up for the task.
And, Chris, you and I were doing our bowl predictions throughout the summer. I think I had the Kings. Didn't I have them winning their first 9 games?
Yes, you did. You said 9-0.
Oh, 9-0.
Well, they're on track so far. It's just, you know.
So far, so good.
We'll see how that goes. And I think the interesting thing about that Laker matchup on Sunday as well is the fact that, you know, it's a completely different style than the Golden State Warriors. Mm-hmm. You know, we've seen the Warriors so many times and whatever. They've played 9 of their last 14 games against the Warriors. The Lakers almost cause a completely different problem with their size. You know, they can throw LeBron and Christian Wood and Anthony Davis out there. Do you guys think, we were just kind of talking about it in the last segment with Kevon Looney in the house tonight, do you guys feel like this is a good opportunity as well to maybe show that the Kings have kind of alleviated that rebounding problem or just their problem with bigger, longer lineups?
I think so. I think we saw a little bit of it on Wednesday at Utah. I thought Sabonis did a heck of a job against Walker Kessler. I thought JaVale McGee played well. And so now we have the roster that can sort of match up with some of these big lineups, you know, with Anthony Davis. You know, it's interesting, in that closing lineup that Darvin Ham used last night in that win against Phoenix, you had Anthony Davis and Christian Wood out on the floor at the same time. So they've gone with their two big lineup. We've yet to see Mike Brown turn to that.
Yeah.
I don't know if he will. You know, I've never been a big fan of pairing Sabonis with another big, especially a big that can't shoot, but we might see it for the first time come Sunday.
Yeah, I was reminded, Chris, what Alex Len told you and I to that point, right? He said, we're going to run. Yeah, not stuff about the weapons that he said, but when he talked about the playing two bigs. So I'm right there with Kyle. I'm wondering if we might see some of that tonight against the Warriors.
Guys, I guess when you look at the fact that this is just only one of 82, how much do you think it matters for the Kings to get this one tonight? Do you think it's a mental thing, or would you just say, look, if they don't get it, it'll be okay?
Obviously, if they don't get it, you know, you pick up the pieces, you make the best of it, you say what you learned, blah, blah, blah. But this is a huge game. Make no mistake. The Kings at some point have to beat these guys. And if they don't do it tonight, all right, you get them again. But the Kings desperately want to beat this team. They know they can beat them. They think they should have beaten them already last year in the playoffs. And it's really important to the psyche of this team and the confidence of this team to get it done tonight. I think they will, but I think they feel that they need to.
Well, thanks, guys. Gotta run, but you don't have to, because you're going to be rocking and rolling from Golden One. Thanks for listening to Styles and Watkins. We'll talk to you soon. Drive, guys, up next. Sacktown Sports.